Hello and welcome to the Halfway to Infinity Short Story Podcast, a collection of original short stories. Now, crows make some people very nervous, and perhaps there is a very good reason for that. The Murder of Crows.
"Guess what I did today?" asked John as he took the plate of peas from his wife.
"Well, I don't know. What?"
"I killed a crow."
"A what? A crow?"
"Yeah. There was a bunch of them on the roof making all sorts of noise. I chucked some stones at them."
"You hit one then?"
asked his son. "Yeah, right on the head. It fell on the roof up here." John pointed to the ceiling. His wife pulled a face.
"What, here on the extension? You cleared it off, I hope."
"Nah, couldn't. Charlie's got me ladder. Anyway, best to leave it for a bit, I reckon, you know, as a warning to the others. Might keep them away."
"Oh, yeah, but it's a bit weird, though, isn't it? A dead bird up here."
She looked up at the ceiling.
"It's horrible. I mean, come on, John, we're eating."
"Things die all the time, Linda. It's nature, isn't it? It's nothing to get upset about." He passed the peas back to his wife. Their son scooped up a spoonful of mashed potato.
"Mr. Adams at school told us that a flock of crows is called a murder."
"Yeah, that's right," said his father, laughing.
"That's creepy."
Linda pulled another face.
"Don't like crows. So when are you going to clear it off?"
"Tuesday, I reckon. I'm on late shift, so I can do it in the morning if I get my ladder back."
"Tuesday? But that's 2 days away. You can't leave it that long."
"You're welcome to do it yourself if you want." Linda pulled yet another face, and with a glance at the ceiling, picked up her fork and stabbed at the chicken on her plate. Early the next morning, John went out to the shed at the bottom of the garden to look for an old screwdriver. He stopped by the extension. The dead crow was still there. He could see the tip of the black wing, the feathers moving in the wind. Above, on the roof of the house, were other crows, very much alive. 7 of them, he counted, some on the aerial, others high up on the tiles. They were quiet. 4 more crows perched along the fence at the bottom of the garden. He watched them as he walked across the grass to the shed. They watched him as he lifted the latch and slipped inside. It was dark and musty. He began to search through piles of old boxes and plastic bags. Outside, the crows began to call to each other. John heard the scratching of sharp claws on the shed roof as other crows arrived. The screwdriver was in an old rusty toolbox under some tarps. He slipped it into his pocket, then looked out through the small, dirty window of the shed. Some of the crows had collected on the extension near the dead bird. John picked up a hammer and went back out into the garden. He waved the hammer around, shouted, and tried to look angry. Most of the crows flew off, but one remained. As John reached the back door, it flew over him and landed on the gutter above. They stared at each other for a while before John waved the hammer around again. "Watch yourself," he said, "or you'll end up like your dead friend up there." The crow didn't move. John walked back into the house. Charlie brought the ladder back the next morning.
"I'd stay and help, but I've got to run Alison into town," he said.
"The doctor's again, is it?"
"Yeah, she's okay, but you know how she worries. Anyway, I'll pop in again on my way back."
John carried the ladder around the side of the house and placed it up against the wall of the extension by the large glass patio doors. He looked up, but couldn't see the black wing of the dead crow.
"Wind must have moved it," he thought.
He looked around. There were no birds. He picked up a roll of bin bags he'd put down earlier and tore one off. He then put on some heavy work gloves and stepped onto the first rung of the ladder. He heard the caw of a crow. It landed on the shed. Another flew down and settled on the fence, then another.
"Come to watch, have we?" said John.
He climbed the second step. A crow passed close over him, then flew up and landed on the aerial. John watched it as it hopped along the narrow metal. It had something in its mouth. It lowered its head and opened its beak. A small stone fell and clattered down the roof.
It bounced over the gutter and landed on the concrete paving near the ladder. Several other crows flew over the roof and landed on the fence and the shed.
"Bloody crows," said John, and continued climbing.
Halfway up, he was able to see over the flat roof. The dead crow was gone. In its place was a small pile of rounded stones. John climbed the last few rungs and clambered onto the roof. He stood looking at the stones. Some of the crows from the shed flew onto the far end of the extension, and the crow on the aerial, the one that had dropped the stone, flew down and landed a short distance from John, its head slightly cocked as it observed him through its black eyes. John opened the bin bag and reached down for the stones.
"I wouldn't do that," said the crow.
John stopped, his hand halfway to the roof. He turned his head to look at the bird.
"Back away," it said.
John stood slowly. "Charlie, is that you?" he said. The crow hopped forward.
"Charlie, you must be mistaking me for another crow. I guess we all look the same to you, right?"
"What the fuck?" John stepped back close to the edge.
"What's the matter, John?" said the crow. "Is this fucking with your head?"
"You're a crow,"
said John, confused.
"So?"
You can't speak. Crows can't speak."
"Oh, come on, John, even budgies can speak."
It hopped even further forward.
"But it's not about being able to speak, is it, John? It's about being able to think, and that's the difference between us. Between you and me, John, being able to think, to join the dots, to see how everything fits together, to understand the balance, John, to know not to fuck things up."
More crows arrived, settling on the roof, the shed, the fence and the extension, all silently staring at John with black, glassy eyes. John looked from one to another and understood. He turned quickly and made a run for the ladder. Instantly the crows took flight, throwing up a cloud of dust. John stumbled down the first few rungs before the birds struck him in the chest and the head, knocking him backwards. He reached out frantically for support, but his foot slipped and his leg dropped down between the rungs. He grabbed the sides of the ladder, but it twisted beneath him, rolling him hard against the glass patio doors, which cracked and splintered and gave way. He tore through the shattered glass and landed on his back on the carpet in the extension, stunned and in pain, one leg impaled on the fragments of glass that remained in the frame like broken teeth. His arms were cut and bleeding, with tiny spikes of glass embedded like jewels in his skin. The crows flew in through the shattered doors and formed a circle around him. The crow from the roof landed on John's chest. It looked down at him with black marble eyes.
"Don't move, John," it said. "Don't move."
Another bird hopped up to his head, a stone in its mouth.
"What? What?"
"Shh, John, don't speak," said the crow.
Black beaks began to peck at the bloody sliced flesh of his leg. John screamed, and the crow by his head dropped the stone into his open mouth. He tried to spit it out, but his leg dug deeper into the glass teeth of the door and he screamed again. The crow pecked down into his open mouth, pushing at the stone, pushing it deeper. In agony and confusion, his lungs empty, John took a desperate, ragged breath and sucked the stone down into the soft folds of his throat, where it stuck fast. His eyes widened as he fell silent, unable to breathe, unable to scream. The crow on his chest hopped a little closer.
"An eye for an eye. Isn't that what you humans say? Well, I guess you won't be needing them now, John. I might as well take both."
Halfway to infinity.